Live.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the May 24th, 2021 meeting of the University City Council that has now been called to order at 6:33. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cousy.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Here. Thank you very much. You have before you the agenda for tonight's evening. The city manager had asked during the study session for us to remove, delete item number I-2. Is there a motion to amend the agenda, deleting I-2? Made by Mr. Cousick, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of making the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Therefore, you've amended the agenda. Now, in just protocol, do you want me to do the approval of the agenda? Or am I good to go? Good to go. All right. Let's move over.
I'm sorry, Mayor. Would you please approve?
That's what I thought. Now, may I have a motion to approve the agenda as amended? Motion made by Mr. Hales and seconded by Mr. Cousick. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you a proclamation for the LGBTQ Pride Month that is coming up in June. I believe the city clerk sent that out to you ahead of time. Since everyone is being asked to sign this, and of course no one has to sign it, but I believe it is appropriate since we're all being asked to sign it, to be a motion to approve the resolution. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Clay, seconded by Mr. Cousick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. And I believe that at some point in time, Ms. Reese will probably get that routed around to everyone so that those signatures can be affixed. You have before you the minutes of the May 10th, 2021 study session for the River to Pear. Is there a motion? Motion by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. Cousick. Get a little backfeed here. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You now have before you the May 10th regular meeting of the City Council. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Hales, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. For the record, please note that Sylvia Morris was sworn into the Civil Service Board via Zoom on May the 11th. To all the citizens, thank you very much for providing us with your comments electronically. We received a number of comments. The city clerk has provided those to all the members of council. We appreciate you sharing your concerns, and we look forward to the opportunity when we will be able to once again see you in person, hear from you in person, rather than having a cutoff time of noon to get comments to us as we exit the COVID pandemic. I will say, just as a brief, almost philosophical point, I believe to all of us, it's going to be just as difficult to exit the pandemic as it was to enter it. So I realize that we all are going to have some crunchiness every now and then, but please be patient. We are all trying to do the best that we can with the resources that we have. And we look forward to seeing you in person and hearing from you, good or bad, we want to hear. But please understand, we know that this is going to be a challenging time. Now I have before you a public hearing for the petition to add real property to the markets at Olive Community Improvement District. The hearing is opened at 6:37 p.m. All citizens have had an opportunity to provide comments to the city clerk, and we appreciate that. Taking that note, the public hearing for the petition to add real property to the markets at Olive will be closed at 6:37 p.m. We'll now have the public hearing for the Crown Center for Senior Living 353 redevelopment plan, including tax abatement. That public hearing will open at 6:38. Once again, the opportunity to provide comments to the public hearing has been made electronically, and any of those comments have been received by the city clerk and move forward. With that being said, and no public in attendance, we will close the public hearing at 6:38 p.m. You now have before you the asphalt overlay improvement of the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, there are a few comments that I would like to read into the record. I would like to start out by commending Chief Hampton and his staff for the excellent police work in capturing the suspects wanted for the really heinous murders that occurred within University City as well as Brentwood. Secondly, I would like to add my voice to those condemning the horrific murder of Ronald Green. The actions by the Louisiana State Troopers do not reflect the values held by most law enforcement officers or those affiliated with law enforcement. I pray for Ronald Green's family that justice will be served. Black lives do matter. I'd like to read into the record at this point comments related to the agenda item. On May 14, 2021, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention took aggressive action and lifted most of the coronavirus restrictions that were in place for over a year. The plan for opening our pool in Centennial Commons was intended to allow our residents to enjoy the pool and Centennial Commons and be safe when doing so. We're doing everything possible to adjust to the new guidance provided by the CDC on May 14th. The current plan calls for reduced hours until we can hire and train the staff needed to return to normal operating hours. We are aware the rollout plan will need adjusting as we navigate the opening of the pool in Centennial Commons in an environment that has a shortage of people applying for these types of positions. Our first adjustment came on Friday when I authorized during the training period of our staff, access to the pool in Centennial Commons would be free to all University City residents. Because of our strong financial position, if the council desires, we can continue this free service to University City residents the entire summer for a cost of approximately $200,000. I would not recommend making the free service permanent as those revenues will likely be required in the future. There may be other adjustments we will need to make when opening and operating the pool in Centennial Commons due to the fluid nature of this pandemic. I would ask for your patience as we try to balance allowing our residents to enjoy our facilities and ensuring their safety. Mr. Dunkel, do you have any comments to add on this item?
No, I do not. I think you said it, you know, pretty well. Right now, we are trying to open the, you know, our facilities in the safest manner possible, as well with the staffing levels that we currently have on hand. And it will be a fluid situation, you know, as we move forward.
So both Mr. Dunkel and I are here for to respond to any questions that you might have.
All my colleagues, I'm sure we probably all had our fair share of comments that have been shared with us. And so it's an opportunity for us to have a discussion as council with our professional staff so that we can determine the best path forward as Mr. Rose has laid out his plan. Mr. Clay.
So just City Manager Rose, it might be helpful. I do have a question. It might be helpful for level setting because we know there have been changes in the past 72 hours, just what is the current status of opening? What are the hours? What amenities are available? Just laying that out for the public. So, because it has changed relatively soon or quickly.
Honorable Mayor and Councilmember Clay, I will give you in general terms, but I will defer to Mr. Dunkel to talk specifically about the hours of operation. We decided that during the training period, which we believe will last at least a week, but perhaps longer than that, that all facilities would be open, a swimming pool, the gym, the workout facilities within Centennial Commons. That enables us to train our staff while individuals are still enjoying the facility. Certainly the lifeguards, in order to become a lifeguard, you have to be certified. And so there is no issues of concern there, but they are still getting familiar with our pool, and they have greater responsibility than simply being a lifeguard. So I will tell you that, but I will defer it to Mr. Dunkel to comment further. Mr. Dunkel.
Councilmember Clay, Mayor Crow, members of council. The Hema Park Swimming Pool is scheduled to open this coming Saturday. And on weekends, the pool will be open from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. for general swim. It'll also be open for lap swim from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday, the hours will be 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. for lap swim and 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. for the open swim. With Centennial Commons, our hours will be Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Saturdays, 8 to noon, and will be closed on Sundays.
Can you, if I, Stacy, Councilmember Clay, do you have a follow-up?
I do quickly, just as it relates to the staffing level. So where, what is optimal? What's the ideal number of staff, say, for Centennial Commons? And where are we in relation to that today? I don't know what the number is, but.
Well, prior to COVID in 2019, I believe we were somewhere around the 35 employee mark. You know, that's, you know, part-time and full-time staff. As today, we're somewhere around 20 people. So, and we, you know, we are trying to move forward with that. You know, we've had some difficulty with some part-time positions. We've had, you know, part of our staff that was here prior to COVID come back, and we're trying to fill in those other positions. And as we fill those in, train those individuals as well. From a pool standpoint, basically, as you are aware, we're contracting out the lifeguarding and the maintenance operations of the pool. So the only city staff involved in that aspect of operations would be our front desk staff as well as our concession staff. So hopefully, as we progress, move forward, we can get some more individuals on board, and then we'll be, you know, being able back to get back hopefully to the 2019 numbers.
I think Mr. Smotherson had his hand up first. Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I'm going to stay positive and make sure my recommendation is positive. But what I will say is that I think that we need to reconsider our hours of operation for Centennial Commons. And the reason I say that is I'm an active gym goer. And if you know what happens in the gym, there is a lull in activity from about 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And what I would actually make a suggestion or recommendation in my humble way is to say that the gym should actually be open from 6 to something like 11 in the morning. And then you have a training period that you can have from 11 to 3. And then open the gym again from 3 to 9, because there is a lull. There's no activity. There's hardly any in the afternoon. And that could be your training period. And the reason I make that suggestion is because as a person that works during the day and all the things that I try to do, the most important time that people work out is early and late. That's the most important time that they work out. The times that the kids use the gymnasium is after 3. They're not in there at 12 o'clock. So again, I would really suggest that you look at hours of operation, because the hours that you have right now don't really work. Even though you're starting off and trying to be safe and secure, and I understand that, but they don't work. So again, it's just simply my suggestion that you use the hours of 6 to 11 and 3 to 8 or 9. And that would actually work better So that's my suggestion.
Mr. Rose?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, our intention is simply, we know that we are going to need to make adjustments. What is unknown at this point is how popular the facilities will be. We believe they will be very popular. So as we learn more through the opening, I guarantee you that that Mr. Dunkel will make the adjustments needed to serve the largest percentage of the of our population. Understand that we have quite a challenge. That's a national challenge, trying to recruit people for these positions. We would love just to open it up completely. We would love to be fully staffed. We just simply are not in that position.
Very quickly, I'm sorry, can I say this very quickly, Mayor Crow, and that is we're having problems hearing because half of what the city manager just said, I didn't even get because he's frozen up. So I'm just letting you know that there is a problem happening.
Okay, and my audio feed was fine, so I apologize if, and Loretta's saying hers is fine. So I'm sure that Mr. Rose can probably give a brief recap of basically saying it's a fluid situation and that it's a national hiring issue and they will try to get as many people hired as quickly as they can and trained.
And open during the time periods when we think the most people will be able to benefit from it.
And I think that Ms. Klein was next. Ms. Klein.
Yeah, my question has to do with, it pertains to swim club and the water aerobics programs. And I've been kind of watching to see if there was any change in that. I haven't heard any change. If they're still being told they can't run their programs in our pool, is there, you know, what can we do to make that happen? Because I think these are important programs and I myself am not seeing, considering they don't need extra staff, I'm not seeing why we can't still run those programs.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Klein, at this point, we have asked the UCD Swim Club for a proposal so that we can better understand the organization as well as what they are asking of us. That request went out Thursday, I will say, last week. So we are waiting to hear from them. I'm not familiar with water aerobics, whether outreach has occurred to staff now. So I'll defer to Mr. Dunkel.
We haven't received any proposals from any outside organizations to provide any other types of programs. From in-house programming right now, everything is placed on hold. And that leads, you know, from staffing. Hopefully as we move forward, like the hours at Centennial Commons and everything else, as we get staff on board, this will be fluid and we'll be able to reintroduce some of those programs.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Klein, if there is a individual that is desiring, our organization that's desiring to coordinate water aerobics, we'd certainly be interested in receiving a proposal from that individual or organization that we can evaluate. We'd love to have all of these programs available. We're simply in a situation where it's very difficult hiring people for these positions.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I'm a bit confused by what I just heard because I was pretty sure we all received the proposal from Mr. Graneman that we were all copied that went to the parks director late this morning. Am I missing something?
Mm-hmm. Is that from the water aerobics? I'm sorry, Honorable Mayor.
No, that's from.
No, that's from the U City Swim Club.
Okay, I must not have been copied on that.
I have not received a proposal as of yet.
So I know Mr. Graneman's watching. I see him on here. There was an issue. I know the mayor didn't receive this. I did receive it. there were a series of very large attachments that I was unable to send to the mayor. And I'm wondering if the city emails are limited in the attachment size, because there were, I want to say, 6 or 7 attachments that were quite large. So that did come in, but if that size is limited, there's not much. I mean, they might need to be broken up, or, I mean, I have them, I can put them on a drive and share them with everybody, but I'm thinking that might be the issue, because everybody was clearly on it.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hills, we'd love to receive it. Certainly, having not seen it at this point, we haven't had an opportunity to review, but we can do that pretty quickly and provide you with our thoughts regarding it, at least as it relates to how we intend to proceed. So yeah, it'd be great if I will talk with our IT person to see if we can identify what happened and why they weren't received by all of us.
Okay, thank you. I think there were just very high resolution scans, and there were a number of documents. I do have two quick other questions. I did receive an email in response to the opening up of the pool without, you know, with everyone for a week or potentially more. I do think that's a great idea, as these facilities have been closed, to offer a period of free access for people to try it, because I think there are a lot of people in our community who have never done that. And I think it's a really positive thing. But the email that that I received, and I think other members of council received, questioned the intelligence, I suppose, of opening the pool if staff has not been trained, and was alluding to lifeguards. And I was just hoping you might be able to confirm that all of the lifeguards are certified and trained to do that key role, and what is the issue with the taking of payments.
Mr. Dunkel, do you want to respond to that?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Rose. Councilmember Hales, members of council. Yes, the training, to answer your question, from lifeguards, all lifeguards have been trained, certified, all that. So the training doesn't really, other than them being familiar with our facility, there's no other training required of lifeguards. Most of the training led to the aspects of our cashiers, our front desk clerk, those sorts of things. And so, like I said, we are working on staffing levels. And we thought, with the process of being closed for a year, everybody coming back, that there would be large crowds of people coming in. So we were trying to limit that and train and not handle cash transactions at that time. That was the reason behind that. And again, some of our staff that are new have to learn our software programs and how we do those sorts of things. So that was the thought process behind it.
Okay, thank you. And I would like to echo Ms. Klein's comments about swim club. I don't think that there's anybody in the city or anybody on the council who wants to restrict anyone. I do believe that there have been policies in place in the past that haven't necessarily been followed, and to know who's coming into our facilities, what their background is, I think is very important and beneficial on a number of levels. I do fully support the efforts of the group. I've talked to a couple of them and have received emails from them as well. And then my final comment is, you know, this whole thing sort of evolved last week with our recreational facilities, as well as our recreational facilities and the swim club. And I do want to commend the city manager and Mr. Dunkel, because there was a time not very long ago that there were literally hundreds of people very upset with either an administrative change or a policy change at the council level, which this was not a council level decision. So I do commend to everyone involved the responsiveness to listening, as I know we all did, I certainly did, to the concerns. And some of those concerns might have been potentially overlooked or not considered. And I think that's fair, because I think, you know, mistakes, no matter where you are, mistakes can be made, and there can be things that you don't consider that others do. And I think that in this instance, the responsiveness of the city to the concerns raised was really swift, and no matter how, what size of the group. So I appreciate that responsiveness from Mr. Rose and Mr. Dunkel.
Mr. McMahon.
And I'll be brief. I do want to commend that I think staff, Mr. Dunkel, Mr. Rose, they're working on these issues as they pop up. They may not have been, we may not have all been aware of how different groups might use our facilities, where they have their attendees show up under certain practices that they've seen in the past. And when we've changed our policies, it impacts them and it comes forward. But I think we've seen that at least through the Parks and Recreation. We've seen that a couple of times here this spring, and as we're opening up again, and there's a willingness to work with groups and keep them engaged and find solutions. And that's, I think, what we need to do. It's hard, it's difficult, and it's not fun, but I commend all of us for being open to finding solutions and listening and trying to work through the process as we go forward. One of the questions for Mr. Dunkel, just so that maybe people watching and listening can be clear, and I think this raises some concern when the term is heard, but can you define what you mean by outside groups? Because I think some people, when they hear that term, they think that it's a group that's not a Youth City group. I don't think that's what you mean to say, but could you just explain what you mean by an outside group?
Yes, Councilmember McMahon, members of council. Yes, anything that's not a city ran through our Parks and Recreation Department program is considered an outside program. So I understand what you're saying. I've had some people contact me and said, no, we're Youth City groups, and that's not what we're saying. We're saying if it's not a city-sponsored program that's ran by the Parks and Recreation Department, it is viewed as an outside program.
And just to follow up really quickly, Mr. Dunkel, when it's a group that's not run by your staff and your folks that you have in the Parks Department, then there's a process in place so that we're welcoming to those people. We figure out how to accommodate them and try to work with them to deliver their services that they might provide to our residents in our facilities. And that's right. What we're doing now.
Yes, we work with several outside groups, from baseball groups, soccer, football, tennis, aquatics, you name it. We work with several groups. You know, COVID has just set us back, and you know, it's something that we didn't have a game plan for COVID, and it's fluid, and we're moving forward as fast as we can.
Thank you.
Ms. Klein.
I just want to add on to what Steve said, just a reiteration of how much we appreciate the clubs and the groups that operate in our facilities and on our fields. And we're so glad you're here. And, you know, I hope that you see that through this process.
A couple of detailed questions that maybe I'm not aware of. When we say we're thinking about doing expanding this to a free program all summer, are we still taking IDs at the front door? Or are we checking that you are a Youth City resident? Or are you bringing in three or four kids who are your, you know, my kids' cousins and they don't live here? How is this working? Because if we're short staffed anyway, and then it becomes free, how do these two forces come together peacefully instead of not?
Honorable Mayor, the approach that we're taking for the initial period, which we think will last about a week, perhaps a little longer, we're basing that on the honor system. If it is that council consensus to allow it for an extended period, then we're going to do a rollout of what documentation we will need. If you decide that you want to extend it for a 3-month period for free for Centennial Commons and the pool. So the initial period, it's going to be on the honor system. After that, if you decide to extend it, we'll roll out a documentation will be needed.
Okay.
To prove that you're a university city.
Okay, so I get that. So I'm just gonna throw this out though again. If it's Memorial Day weekend and it's 90 degrees and you got guests in from out of town, I'm assuming there's a likelihood that any number of people could be coming in. And do we then limit the number of people who are allowed in the pool? The reason I say this is because of the weather and the pool, and we are finding clearly nationwide that when people are getting the opportunity to be outside and to congregate, we're all doing it. I am one of those people. So my question is, you know, is your capacity at the pool based on lifeguards and other employees, is it 200 people? Is it 300 people? How do you make that decision?
Members of council, right now, I believe our pool occupancy is 900 individuals. And our lifeguard, number of lifeguards do not change because by St. Louis County ordinance, number of lifeguards is based off the body of water, not based on the number of participants or users of the pool.
900 people, that's a lot of people to keep track of. That's all I got to say. Wow.
Honorable Mayor, I was just going to say for Centennial Commons, that's different. We'll have to keep a very close watch on the gymnasium. Because that has a different occupancy capacity for the interior.
And then I want to follow up on the next part, which is I think all the members of council, I really do hope that you'll either ask questions or opine, because any change in revenue stream on these on fees will take action by us. And I think we all have to balance the desire to bring Centennial Commons and the pool back and to get people back into the pool, back into Centennial Commons and enjoying life, and whatever financial constraints so many people are operating under. With the flip side of that, it is a $200,000 expense that then otherwise we'll have folks say that we've usually had a pay to use type of program in University City, whether it be trash, whether it be even fees for inspections, you name it, and the use of Centennial Commons and the pool. So this is one of those opportunities for us and responsibilities where, unless I'm missing it, this one falls back in our lap with a recommendation from the city manager. But since it involves revenues and fee reductions, we don't take a pass on this one. This is us. And so we're probably all going to need to, I don't know whether the city manager is necessarily wanting an answer completely tonight beyond the first week. But I think there is a balance between trying to attract people to come back. I think that's a wonderful idea and help people out. Also with how far do we go with the subsidization? So I just tee that up just a little bit so we can have this conversation. Mr. Clay.
Yeah. I know staffing is kind of the sun in which all these decisions revolve around. So I do echo some of the mayor's concerns with capacity, and just because 900 people may meet the lifeguard criteria, but you just need staff to manage 900 people, and we may not get that, but we're going to get a whole bunch. And so I'm concerned about that. But as it relates to income or the fees and doing this for free, and I realize this has staffing implications as well, but is there an opportunity to do means testing? So certain folks don't need things to be for free. Other folks that may be more valuable. And I think by doing that, you lessen the revenue impact, but still get at making it available for everyone to participate. I realize there are staffing implications. I think the reason why you defaulted to kind of let everybody in for free, because that's easy. Is walk through the door, and that's kind of easy. Means testing necessarily means some kind of process. I know we have a scholarship process in place already, so we do some means testing as it relates to access to Centennial Commons anyway. You don't have, may not have a full answer right now, but what would it look like to scale that up for this period again to lessen the revenue hit, but let everyone have access.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, you're right. We would need to do some research on that and bring that issue back to you. But I would ask that you, as we go through this process, keep in mind it's sort of like you flying a plane and building it at the same time. The CDC, their aggressive action that was taken, I believe, surprised not just us, but a number of the cities throughout the nation. So we're playing catch up to a degree, but we will catch up. I believe that we'll continue to add additional staff. The process is slower than what we would like for a number of reasons that I won't get into. But I do believe that that we will be fully staffed that at some point this summer.
Other questions and comments? unless I'm missing it, this is one where I think I'm asking folks to actually step up and share, because I believe the city manager is looking for input from us as to how he shapes this program. Anyone else? Mr. McMahon.
I agree with you, Mayor Crow, about balancing the ability to bring people in, re-excite everybody about the use of our facilities, but at the same time balancing that with the income that could be generated as well. But at the same time, I think my position with a lot of our recreation facilities has always been, while we do charge for the services in some aspects, it is also a service that we provide through the city, and there's going to be a level of subsidy at some point. Is this that kind of level of a subsidy for a 3-month period? I would be a little concerned over that period of time, how the rollout looks once it starts. Because if we say we're going to offer it for 3 months and we get a big rush of folks that we're having trouble even monitoring, and you know, we don't want problems that come up with a large crowds because of the access that's been now open and people not being able to use it for a year, will we then have to say, now we've got to back off? Is there a way to do it a little more slowly and say we're looking towards that and give it some? I know the training period will be a test run, but then maybe can we do it a little bit more slowly so that we can do that? And while just to kind of discuss Mr. Clay's comment about means testing, while I would certainly agree that some people can afford more than other folks, and that something being free may not be as essential to other folks, I think you also want to look at it as during this period of time when you can offer it for free, you want somebody to come in and look at our facilities and say, I think I'll cancel my membership over there and I'll come over here because you offer me a good product. Because then we're going to be bringing in people that may not have wanted to, that have made assumptions about our product but without even testing it out. So maybe that would be a possibility during a short period of time. Those are my comments.
I'm assuming that as we look at this, and Mr. Rose, I'm probably looking at you on this, there's probably a time where this jet needs to take off. So my comment is, how would you like us to proceed with giving you either more input or with you, are you coming back to us with something? Because I think we know that the pool is opening this weekend and it is free for at least a week. I think that's, and I think, We've got Centennial Commons too. What are you wanting from us, or what are you providing to us?
Honorable Mayor, at this point, I simply was trying to get an understanding of the willingness of council to explore the free service for the extended period. What I will do is, after we have concluded the initial week, I will revisit this issue with staff and then make a recommendation on whether we should extend it further. And I can do that for a couple of weeks, until I get to what I think would be about $25,000. And then that's where I'm capped, and council would have to step in. But I do agree that we need to test this approach first to make sure that we do an excellent job in managing it.
Mr. Clay.
I think communication is going to be key to this because, you know, I think people have some level of COVID uncertainty patience, but I think that's wearing thin. And so my concern is a scenario where, you know, we've established what we're doing for the week. We're trying it out. We tell people we're trying it out. We feel like it doesn't work, so we pull it back. And I'm just concerned about the communication being very crisp on that. So folks are really aware of where we are in the process. You know, I think to the degree decisions can be made early, I think we all, including most of all our community, benefit from that. So I would say if you need guidance from us earlier, seek it out earlier, as opposed to waiting, because that communication could get real tricky.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor. Agree with Mr. Clay's comments. I like this idea, as Steve kind of alluded to. I think it does present an opportunity for people to come in who, you know, might be going somewhere else. But I also understand where Mr. Rose is coming from. I would say I'm good with saying, hey, you know, evaluate week one and take an incremental approach, as I think has been the approach that the city is trying to take with reopening the facilities. I think everybody everywhere probably has a great deal of COVID fatigue and is ready to break out and get back to normal. And hopefully everyone is vaccinated and can do that very, very safely. I would say I'm good with evaluate for after week one and up to maybe 3 weeks. And, you know, then we can have an opportunity to talk about it. I understand Mr. Clay's concern about, you know, if things are really a rush of people. On the other hand, I think, you know, what if it actually goes spectacularly well? So I'm okay with the opportunity and just stepping it along as you and your staff see fit.
Can I ask one question, which is we were getting a communication earlier today about hours, and I'm just curious. I get the swimming hours, so if someone can just get back to me on Centennial Commons, how many hours are we opening it up as? And then how many hours would it have been open last year? Are we at 75% of the hours? Are we at 60% of the hours? Are we at 50? I'm just kind of curious because I think I realize there's the population of some people come after 3, some people come early in the morning. I get all that and I accept it because I think that's very true for when people go to the gym. I also kind of want to have a macro view of, you know, we in my business, we call it how many floor hours we had each week and our floor hours matching what they were pre-COVID. So we're kind of just looking at that. In this case, we're going to have so many hours that the gym is operating versus how many they were opened in 2019. And I'm just curious on a weekly basis at Centennial Commons what that'll be. If someone can get back to me on that. And then secondly, the only thing I want to second or third council member Clay. I think we're all guilty at times of using the nomenclature that we use within our walls to then communicate to people who are not part of that nomenclature. And so I would truly hope that as we communicate this one out, that the phrase outside groups doesn't exist in any communication, because I think it kind of, that probably causes a little bit more pain than it did gain. And so it'll be good if we can, we'll be inclusive in our language as we bring this out. And to the citizens who are watching, I recognize that many of you will be watching, will be sharing these comments with our other residents, which is exactly what we want you to do. But we also hope that you understand that, you know, when we make a mistake, we pivot. We do our best to pivot, and we do our best to move forward. And frankly, we're probably going to make a few more as we're coming out. It's just likely to happen as this situation continues to unfold. And we welcome your input. We hope that you'll give it to us directly. It's much easier to get it to us directly than it is to have to go out on Nextdoor and see all the communications. So please, if you want to share your thoughts with us, please do so. We are in this to make sure that our community is better and that everybody who uses our facilities is safe. Mr. Rose, any final comments from you?
Honorable Mayor, we hear you loud and clear on the language, and we will respond back to you regarding the comparisons.
Anything else from anyone else? Mr. Smotherson.
Just asking if we can all get that information about the hours, please.
It will be distributed to the entire council.
Okay, if we can move forward now with new business. We have before us resolution number 2021-8, a resolution authorizing the city manager to advance the design phase of the renovation of the City Hall Annex for a police station and the Trinity Building for municipal court operations and the city council chambers. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Second made by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. City Manager Rose, if you could, please help me understand how this is going to be done without the bond issue, if you could, please.
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, the council has set aside initially $7 million, I believe it's roughly $4.5 million today, for the construction of a police facility. So the initial phase of any a project of this nature is to design it. And I would suspect that the design will not take up that entire amount. So we can advance with the design. And as you know, because of the reopening basically of our economy, it's still unknown what impacts that will have on our revenue. I believe that if we can get back to normal revenues, we have an opportunity to evaluate whether there will be a need for a bond project, at least a GO bond, general obligation bond project in the future. There, we could do a revenue bond project in the future, but using existing revenues if the reopening has the positive impact on revenues that that most believe that it will.
Thank you.
I do think it is important to note that in the packet you do see there where, my language is not gonna be exactly correct, but we are very close to being debt-free as a city. That's not the best language to use, but it's pretty close. Am I correct?
That's correct. Mayor, that is correct.
Yeah. Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. In looking at the resolution language, it says it's authorized city manager to take all necessary steps. Can you outline what those steps are?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, the next step will be to engage Traverse in the performance of the design. So that will be the very next step. Beyond that, it will be a discussion with you as a council about how we should approach the process for getting the design in place. So that you will determine the amount of outreach to the community that you think is appropriate. I will tell you that for design purposes, our police department will be heavily involved, as well as the public works, and assistant city manager Brooke Smith will be helping to oversee this construction project.
And so if I'm clear, the next step is just engaging Trivers in a contractual conversation.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, that is correct.
And then that would come back to, that obviously would come back to the council, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that this moves the process along at a decent pace, but it also, I never want this to come off the wrong way, but it seems to me that this is an indication of the financial position that the city finds itself in at this time. And by the way, I commend previous councils for that, for the set aside of the funds that are there, and then also the city manager for the quick response during the COVID pandemic. I apologize. And to me, I think all of us, I think we all believe, frankly, a bond issue is a good thing for a long-term asset. Is a very good thing, but it's also that we, it very well may be that we need one at some point in time, but we don't need one right now. And I think that probably our residents will probably all take a deep breath and say we agree with that, because it means that we're using the city resources that we set aside. We're moving through the design process. And then if we need more, then we will come to the citizens and ask them for more. Am I in the ballpark on how this process is working?
Honorable Mayor, that's correct. Our goal is to ensure that we leave no stone unturned as it relates to the ability to finance these projects. And with the shifting of our economy recently by the reopening, we know that that should have a positive impact on our revenues.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Mr. Rose, I'm kind of confused about the explanation. Are you actually going to Trivers and asking them what the cost is going to be for a design of the construction? Are you asking them to actually put together the whole design project? You would come back to us with what the cost of the actual renovations would be.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, the intention is to work with Trivers on the scope and to put together an agreement with them that would then come back to you as a council for consideration. That agreement, in addition to the scope, will outline the cost for the design as well. Trivers, as you know, has significant experience with the annex at this point, having done the recent study, space needs study, as well as the evaluation of the annex. So it is my belief that that will benefit us as a city, because the price should reflect that prior knowledge that they have already gained. Certainly that is that is what I will be pushing them for.
Thank you.
I apologize. Mr. Hales, I knew there was another hand.
Thank you. My question kind of floats into the next agenda item, but regarding, I'll just ask it now and it can be answered later if it's not appropriate now, but regarding your considerations about the return for revenues and the financial position of the city, I think over the last several years, there have been many, many changes and changes to priorities. Would this, moving forward with potentially revenue bonds, should that work, would that impact any of the other changes in priorities that we've had to fully fund the fire department, ambulance, return street spending to, $1 million plus every year? Because a number of years ago, we were told we can't do that. It's they're too expensive. So would this impact those priorities in any way?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hales, the real answer to that is that's not the intention. That's why we need this evaluation period, because we don't know what the impact will be on our economy and on our revenues. So if we return to normal, revenues, which means the typical increase in the amount, then I would can answer you no. But there's no guarantee that that's going to be the case. And so we need a period of time to evaluate it. But during that period of time, advancing the design, which means that the project will not be slowed.
Gotcha. Again, it sounds like another incremental approach.
Any other questions of the city manager regarding resolution number 2021-8? Hearing none. All those in favor of resolution, 2021-8, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
The ayes have it. We now have before us bill number 9431. Who would like to introduce? Mr. McMahon. Madam Clerk, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9431, an ordinance repealing ordinance number 7150 containing an emergency clause.
Thank you very much. Mr. Rose, Mr. McMulligan, is there anything I need to be doing here regarding a second, or are we just doing a first reading or tell me what we're doing here?
Well, there's an emergency clause in this, Mayor, and so that requires three readings and unanimous approval by the council to pass. This evening. So you would simply ask the city clerk to proceed to the second and third reading and determine whether there's a motion to adopt.
Thank you. May we have the second reading?
Bill 9431, an ordinance repealing ordinance number 7150 containing an emergency clause.
May we have the third reading?
Bill 9431, an ordinance repealing ordinance number 7150 containing an emergency clause.
Thank you very much. Mr. Rose, do you want to give any commentary or Mr. Mulligan as to what is the background here?
Honorable Mayor, the purpose for repealing the ordinance is so that we would be able to evaluate the need for a bond initiative going forward. This would withdraw the Prop P bond initiative that is scheduled for the August 3rd ballot and give us an opportunity to evaluate whether there's truly a need for a bond issue going forward.
With that being said, are there questions? I think the issue here is that if we are believing that we may not need a bond issue, we're actually putting the city clerk in a rather odd position where there may be a bond issue on an August ballot where we really don't want a bond issue because we don't think we need a bond issue. And so there's a little bit of a timing element here, as I understand it, with the Board of Elections and everybody as to getting the timing in. So I believe that for all of us, if we're not needing to go forward with the bond issue at this time, we would like to be able to not have that on the ballot. And I believe Ms. Reese's hands are tied without council taking that action. Are there additional questions that you have of either the city manager or the city attorney? Mr. Clay.
So we wanted to be clear about something, and this bleeds into the former conversation a little bit. So if we pull this, then we are saying that we are fairly certain we would not need general obligation bonds to be voted on this year, because we would lose the element of timing in order to put it on the ballot. So we are casting our lot affirmatively that we don't need general obligation bonds. Is that correct?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, this year that is correct. What we're asking for is a period of time to evaluate the impacts of the reopening on our revenues. So no, but simultaneously, authority you have just given me was to continue to move forward with the design so that the project is not slowed.
Ms. So we Clark. Could get into, oh, we I'm could, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, just to follow. So we could get into a scenario where we realize at some point we do need general obligation bonds. That now kicks us to 2022.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. Well, and by the way, and I apologize, Gregory, I probably shouldn't have answered that, but I believe that the only other time after August is it would have just been November, right? And so, I mean, practically speaking, it's kicking it to 2022. Am I correct?
That's correct. And we need a period of time to see what the impacts are going to be on our revenues.
Yeah, I apologize for answering that instead of you. So, Ms. Klein.
Yeah, so my question was just kind of related to that. So do you see any scenario where not doing a bond issue now will slow us down in this process?
No, I don't see a possibility of the project being impacted because we are withdrawing it if the council decides to withdraw it, Prop P from the August 3rd ballot.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. And if Mr. Rose or anyone could please correct me if I've got this wrong, but I don't think I do. The proposition before us is to give you time to assess if the city has the means through the money that's been set aside and through the revenues that come in to not ask the voters for any type of tax increase through a bond issue. Is that correct?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hills, that is correct.
Well, I think my constituents would be very pleased to see how that analysis goes and if that's possible. I think that's a very easy answer for me. Thank you.
Well, and I do think it is interesting in that, you know, where Clayton is asking for his first tax increase in quite some time. And I do, and by the way, that's not meant as anything more than it's just an interesting time. And then a comparative, we are trying our best to make sure that we do this in a fashion where we use the money that we've got and then make a determination a little bit further down the road, whether we need, what sources of revenue then will be used for the police station. So I saw a hand, I believe it was Mr. McMahon.
Yep, it was me. Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to make sure I'm clear on this. When you keep saying we're reopening our revenue streams, you know, a constituent may just ask me, didn't you guys just vote on this bond issue a little while ago and you needed it then, and now we're into the end of May and you don't need it? Is the change that we've progressed so well with the pandemic, that vaccinations are going fairly well, people are getting them, the numbers have dropped, and the CDC kind of just said, we're moving back closer to normal. Is that really the explanation of what was the impetus behind we want to do this review now?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember McMahon, that is correct. Before this, the action that you as a council voted on was pre the CDC making this change, which will drastically impact the economy. So that's why I'm asking for a period of time to do the analysis. So that that we don't burden our residents with additional taxes, if at all possible.
Thank you.
What other questions are there of the city manager or Mr. Mulligan, or in this case, probably Ms. Reese as well, since she's the one with the election authority here for us. If there are no further questions of the city manager or staff, let's see if we've got a bill in front of us. We have a motion. Am I correct now? If we're doing this by ordinance, we're doing a roll call vote. Am I correct?
Yes. All right.
Hearing no other comments from any member of council, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Swanson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Mayor Crow.
Aye. Thank you very much. The ayes have it. We'll now move forward to bill number 9432. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Hales, would you, may we please have the first reading?
Bill 9432, an ordinance amending chapter 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University of Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classification of multiple zoning to plan development mixed use district and establishing permitted land uses and developments therein, containing the savings cost and providing.
Well, I have to say that I'm suffering from what Mr. Smotherson suffered from a little time ago, and I did not get remotely. So, Ms. Reese, I hate to say this, but you may need to be closer to your mic, or our systems may just have a technical problem, but I'd rather err on the side of you reading that one more time, and then we'll have it in the record that we understand there may be some technical difficulties. Could we please have the first reading of Bill Number 9432?
Can you hear me better?
Right now.
It's a fishbowl sound.
Yeah, it's very, yeah, it is. It's very.
Okay, how about now? The air conditioning just went off. Is that better?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Read fast.
Okay. Bill 9432, ordinance amending Chapter 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classifications of multiple properties from planned development mixed-use zoning to planned development mixed-use district and establishing permitted land uses and developments therein, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. May we now, we have Bill Number 9433. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Smotherson, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9433. Ordinance approving a petition to add real property to the Markets at Olive Community Improvement District and finding that such additional property is a blighted area.
Thank you very much. That concludes our new business section. We'll now move forward to council reports and business. Are there reports from members of council this evening? Hearing none, let's move forward to council comments. Are there council comments to be shared with each other and the public? If there are none from the members of council, mine will be very, very brief. I want to make sure that I second what the city manager said regarding our police force and the excellent police work that our detectives did on the tragedy that befell our community and the city of Brentwood almost a couple of weeks ago, when Stanley and Barbara Goodkin were shot. And of course, Ms. Goodkin succumbed to her injuries and passed away. And then Dr. Zakharov in Brentwood, our deepest sympathies to their families and truly to our police force. I want to say thank you very much for the exceptional detective work that was done to bring the two folks now, as you know, are both in custody. And we will now let the justice process work through. I know that our community is grateful for the work that the police did, and we appreciate the extra patrols that were initially assigned when no one was sure exactly what was happening, and then all the work that went on behind the scenes. I also want to very briefly just commend the University City senior class of 2021 that is graduating, I believe, as we speak, and congratulate them on having over $7 million of scholarship monies available to them as they enter their freshman year. We are only working on improving the community, so all of those folks will come back and make it an even better place when they have the opportunity to come back into our community. With that being said, I would welcome a motion to go into closed session under Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of action, litigation involving a public governmental body and any confidential privileged communications between a public governmental body or its representatives or attorneys. Is there such a motion? Mr. Hales made a motion. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing discussion.
Very quickly, Mayor, and I do apologize about this question. Oddball question. Are we still under a state of emergency in University City?
Honorable Mayor, Council, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, yes, we are.
Okay, yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay, though, I think we have a motion and a second. We have no discussion of the motion that was on the floor. And can we now please, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Mayor Crow.
Aye. Thank you very much to all the members of the public. We appreciate you joining us this evening. To my member, to the colleagues, is a 3-minute break close enough to get us to our next one? Is that okay?
Yep.
See you in a few minutes. Thank you.